and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived, after he begot Lamech, 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth of God's word. Thank you for those that would hear it and desire to make application and desire to leave here different, changed, empowered, strengthened, encouraged. Thank you for all this taking place up to this point. Thank you for the great songs and prayers and all that's been said and done and saying. Now we ask that you open our hearts, give us patience, that we can hear from you, not from man.
Yes.
We pray in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Man, what a week. What a week. And I turn on the news just a little. I don't have to anymore. I just look my tablet up and out. News for the week. And we know what the news for the week has been. And I know I was troubled by it. And we talked about Mr. Bruce Jenner. And Mr. Bruce Jenner. And people say, hey, well, you know, times have changed and people are doing things different. We live in a fallen world. I heard Jake pray, I heard it been spoken to this morning, but we live in a fallen world. And they asked Mr. Bruce Jenner's mother, who's 88 years old, and she says, they asked her how she felt about meeting her new daughter. For the very first time, and an 88-year-old mother said she's beautiful.
Oh my God!
My mother's already going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
But times haven't changed. I got a newsletter this week that a professor, college professor, you know, not from Mount Union, who's writing her doctrinal on the fact that pedophilia is not a crime, it's a disease. That's what's happening, and that's where this thing is going. People say, you know, well, I don't have a problem with that. Because we don't. You know, we don't have a problem with a lot of things anymore. Okay? Brittany Griner, anybody know Brittany Griner? Plays basketball, 7 foot female, 7 foot, and she plays pro now, and she's getting a divorce from her female partner because she found out her female partner is pregnant. I mean, this is the news. This is the news. This is stuff that makes the news. Okay, then we talk about the murder rate. We talk about gang activity. Gang activity. Go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Talk about the hardest felons in the gangs. They talk about alcohol and gambling and sports and all that's going on in our world. And people say, well, you know, it's as bad as it ever has been. Well, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's nothing new under the sun. Whoever said that? There's nothing new under the sun. Look at Matthew 24. We're going to talk about the days that Enoch walked in. Enoch was truly God's man. And he walked in a time where things were difficult. times were hard. And one of the reasons, a lot of commentaries say, well, the reason God took Enoch is because folks wanted to kill him. And God didn't want him to die like that because he was such a faithful man that God took him. He wouldn't let the people kill him. People say, why did he let him kill John the Baptist? Why did he let him kill Stephen? So he's God. You can ask him when you get to heaven.
Amen.
Okay. Look at Matthew 24 and 37. It says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me stop there. Folks, if you in here and you say you don't believe that we are pushing it, if we're not close, then you need to really take a real good look at your confession of faith, because we are close. Okay? It says, for as in the days that were before the flood, now, right now, remember, why did God bring the flood? Because the days were evil. Folks was doing all kind of crazy stuff. It was a sick world, and none of this stuff is new. And we look at it and say, well, this stuff's not new. What they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah, they're doing the same thing today.
Amen.
Okay? Elmer has been a few days in San Francisco, and I was praying for Elmer. I was praying for Elmer, and I text Sharon and said, how Elmer doing in San Francisco? Because it is what it is. And y'all pray for me. And when I be out here, I'm on the road. Pray for men of God. Because we have to be men of God in a fallen world. People of God in a fallen world. And he says, for as in the days of Noah, that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And I don't believe they're talking about biblical marriage there. Okay, they're talking about anything you can think of. If you want to do it, if Mr. Bruce Jenner says, you know, I'm not a man no more, I'm a female. I don't know if he spoke to God about that at all. I'm pretty sure he didn't. I'm sure he didn't. But we can decide to be whatever we want to be anymore. I don't want to be a man no more, I want to be a woman. I don't want to be a woman no more, I want to be a man. God, you wrong. You made a mistake. He says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, folks, we can rest assured, because every time you see a rainbow, young people, that's God's promise that he's not going to destroy this earth with water again. But he's coming back.
Amen.
You can rest assured that he is coming back.
Amen.
What is that, man, Pastor? You know, you just be on that all the time. I'm not on it all the time. The message is simple. Okay? The message is simple. God has asked me to be creative in the message. He didn't ask me to be effective in preaching. And I hear preachers say, well, you know, you're going to be effective, you got to do this. He didn't call me to be effective.
Amen.
Okay? God's called preachers to be faithful.
Amen.
Faithful to the scriptures. That's all we call to do. I don't want you guys to get up there preaching and trying to be creative.
Amen.
Okay? And worrying about being effective. Preach the gospel. Let the word of God be effective.
Amen.
You get up here and you're going to talk about yourself and you and what you did all week and all this, you're not going to be faithful. You cannot be.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis, talk about Enoch's walk with God. And I'm going to talk about our walk with God. I want to talk about our walk with God because I think it's so important, because we the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We the epistle. Margaret got home and said, where was you at Wednesday? Margaret, I went to Columbus. You know? And you know, God has sent me some men that this church can run fine. I don't want this church to stop running because God has called me to go speak at a function. And it was something that was special. I had to go. Because they asked me to go speak at a statewide recognition banquet down in Columbus. All the big shots was down there. And I know the Democrats, it was on my mind, the Democrats, You know, they took a vote in the 2012, you know, campaign whether we're going to even mention God. So they asked me to come down and do the benediction and pray for the food. I said, oh, Lord, I can't miss that.
Amen.
And then she called back. She said, well, Chaplain Neil, I thought you was a chaplain for Columbus. You don't have to come down. I don't have a problem. I will be there. I will be there. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm all right. You know, I like driving to Columbus. I like Columbus. Okay? And then all week I hear the enemy, the Satan talking to me. You don't have to wear your clericals. You don't have to wear that collar. Just wear a tie, a suit, nice tie, a suit. Just fit right in with all the folks.
Uh-huh.
I say, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
I went to Columbus and I had on full clericals. I had on blue suit, blue. I mean, and I walk in there and they're like, look, who invited God? Who invited God? And it took me 3 days to prepare a 90-second benediction and prayer. And you know, and I say that, man. Listen, young people. Don't ever take for granted anything you do for God.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Don't ever take anything you do for God for granted. Whether you're up here singing, little Braden up here singing, you better practice that song and know that song.
Amen.
And sing it like you mean it. Sing it like you love Jesus.
Amen.
That's food for thought.
Amen.
So I'm up there and I'm like, back of my mind, they don't want to hear preaching. They don't want to hear the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. And all the folks that was down there, you know, just a big sort of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I got up there and I thank God for everything.
Amen.
And I put that thing together and I thank God for everything. Health and strength and wealth and favor. Thank God for the children we work with. Thank God for the patience God's given us to work with these children. Thank God for grace and mercy that we need to work in DYS or Department of Youth Service. I gave them the business.
Amen.
God on everything.
Amen.
And then when I pray for the food, let this food remind you how good God has been to us and how God takes care of us and how God feeds us. And my child, I mean, you didn't hear a pin drop in there. They were like. That's right. In the name of Jesus. And you know, I didn't say to eat. Talked to the director for a little while. Talked to a few people. Then I was home by 1 o'clock. But you have to serve God.
Amen.
In a fallen world. And Enoch shows us how to do it.
Okay.
He shows us how to do it. And we're going to have to flip around a little bit and go to Genesis chapter 11. Some of you should quickly get there. But he walked with the Lord. And I guess first question is, what's it mean to walk with the Lord? Enoch walked with God. And the question you have to ask is, how's my walk? As we preach, I mean, how's my walk? And let me tell y'all something. Y'all know y'all's preacher. I need to hear this too. I need to hear it too. Some of the messages God gave me, I'm like, that's for me. That's for me. I believe I heard it somewhere today. You know, we don't always stand when we need to. Some of us had opportunities this week to talk about Jesus as a witness, and we didn't. That's just the business we in. That's why it's so important that we learn about the Lord.
Amen.
But here's God talking about Enoch and Hebrews chapter 11, verse number, what verse I'm in? I'm in Hebrews 11 and 5. Okay? It says, by faith. What is faith? What is faith? Trusting in God, being committed to God, being unmovable, being steadfast. Nothing's going to move you. Nothing's going to move you. Nothing moved Enoch. The circumstances that he was surrounded with didn't move him, didn't change his message. Okay? And see what's happening today in churches, the message is being changed and watered down because we're running into stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all of us in here. have homosexuality in our families. I know mine do. Okay? So we're sort of like the Republican Senator Ron Portman. And he goes, well, I found out my son came out of the closet. And he was before this devout man of God, man of God. Matter of fact, he was a minister. But once he found his son came out of the closet, he said, well, it's okay now. Now listen, just because your son or your daughter or even maybe your husband or whatever, your sister, come out of the closet, don't change God's word.
Amen.
It's still God's word. Now I'm not sitting here saying we don't stop loving them. I kiss all mine. I hug them all my lesbians and whatever. When I see them at the Christmas parties and different functions, how you doing? Give them a shake. Okay? I'm not disrespectful. But God's word still stands.
Amen.
God's word still stands. And I'm not going to, don't send me no invitation to no gay marriage. I'm not going.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But I'm not going to disrespect them, and I'm going to respect God. And this is what God is saying here to Enoch. Enoch, in chapter 5, it said Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Why was he translated? Transfer. I heard Cook talking about it. Minister Madison talking about it last week. Let God transform you. And we're translated. He was transformed. He was transferred from one place to another because he walked with the Lord.
Amen.
The little girl told a story when she went to church and she heard about Enoch. And she said, Mom, I heard about a man that walked with God. He walked with God so far that God just went on to stay with God.
Amen.
Man, how's your walk? When we look at a person like Enoch, we have to ask, how's your walk? Man, am I walking with the Lord? Am I walking with the Lord? You know what? Here's how you can tell. Are you conscious of God's presence? Wherever you at, wherever you at. Are you conscious of God's presence? Is this like God is with you? Okay? When you're at the doctor's office. Okay? When are you waiting in traffic? On your job. That's good. I heard Dave talk about on his job. He didn't pray. God be with me. Amen. Dealing with folks. Amen. Some of us in here that's dealing with folks that are supervisors. Listen, you need God's presence.
Amen.
Don't even enter the building. Paula, don't even walk through them doors without stopping and praying before you go in there. Because you don't know what's behind them doors. In a sinful world, a sin world. Oh, there go Paul. She got her church. She got a church lady hairdo. And they want to hear you. They want you to act up. They want you to act up. They want to act up. Because I don't want to go to church. I don't want nothing to do with your God. But give me a reason.
Amen.
Same with all of us. Got a consciousness? Do you have a God consciousness in a companionship relationship? Companionship with God. It said Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now God ain't playing with that. He's not talking about 300 years. He went to church 52 weeks out of year. So he went to church 52 weeks out of year for 300 years. That's not what that's saying. That is not what that's saying. What it's saying is that he was with God. God was his companion 24/7, 365 days a year. They was doing years back then. And he did this for 300 years. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Folks been in churches 20 years and not growing. 20 years and not growing. 10 years and not growing. I don't want you here 1 year and not be growing.
Amen.
You ought to be growing.
Amen.
Paul came back and seen a church that wasn't growing. Because they wouldn't walk with the Lord. They didn't have that God consciousness. And when Paul came back, he said, some of you should be teachers.
Amen.
But I can't give you meat because you're still weak. You don't even have any biblical teeth.
Amen.
You still on formula. Okay? And too many Christians on formula.
Amen.
Can't do nothing. I was was telling Dave, I said, Dave, listen, we got to do things. You'll be a minister here, and you surround us, God, and surround me, wonderful folks.
Amen.
Church can't stop us. I can't make it.
Amen.
You, I mean, you get a baby church, you can't do nothing. Okay. I get Michael $50 and go get groceries. Listen, we're going to be eating Twizzlers and gummy bears for 2 weeks. What do we have for dinner tonight, Mike? Honey buns and Klondikes and ice cream drumsticks. That's Delicious' three favorites. So I'm getting him out of my house. Listen, Enoch walked with God, believing that God exists. I mean, do you believe? Do you even believe that God exists? I mean, I'll put it out there in the lobby. I'm not getting on B.B. King. I don't know B.B. King. Okay, but you see, he was a Christian. Okay, to me that means something.
Amen.
Okay, but he got 15 babies by 15 different women. That's a lot of babies. That's a lot of babies for a Christian. I got the Dugars out there somewhere. They got like 15 babies or something, but you know, all about one wife. You know what the word walk means? Biblically, the word walk means to please God. Now that's a question you have to ask yourself. Does my life please God? That's what it means. Say I'm walking with God. That's what it's saying. I'm walking in a way that pleases God. That's what it means. Why? Then we wonder why folks are turning. And I say it all the time to kids in here, young people go to school. Does your classmates know? Do your classmates know you're a Christian? Do they know? Was you excited to go back to school the next day after you got baptized? Say, you know, I got baptized yesterday. Excited. Living for God in a fallen world. That's exciting stuff. Amen. You see stuff that the average person don't even see. Sitting and having these conversations like, how could they do that, Cindy? They're not saved. That's how they can do that. There's some things you just can't do no more after you get saved.
Amen.
I mean, a light that comes on is like, wrong. Can't go there. Can't do that. Can't say that. Don't respond to that. Okay?
Amen.
Leave now. I walk in a break area sometime and I see who's in there. I just turn around.
Amen.
I'll come back later. That's just life, walking with God. See, you have to desire to walk in a way to please God. It's not going to happen automatically. It has to be a desire in you that you're going to live for God. And that comes with salvation. And you know, I say it all the time. If you didn't get that, you didn't get it. If you didn't get real salvation, if you didn't get that. Walking with God. Listen how it's sometimes described. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so we too might walk in newness of life. Mm-hmm. We're not walking in oldness of life. We're walking in newness of life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
See, so when Romans 6:4 said we need to walk in newness of life, you have to ask yourself, am I walking new or am I walking old? Okay? Are my decisions based on the new me or the old me? Then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk in a way that shows a dying world that we trust the Lord.
Amen.
We trust the Lord. Okay, we can't predetermine everything. We can't figure everything out. Okay? Some of us try to do that. We're not gonna do anything by faith. If we can't raise the money, we're not even going to think we can do it. And that's how the church is. Man, we don't have the money to do that. Put it out there. See what happened. Saying our lives. See, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. What's Paul talking about? Mm-hmm. What's the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit, what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, you can't walk by the Spirit if you don't have it. Okay? So if you carry it out, if your flesh is controlling you and telling you what to do and who to do it with, then most likely you don't have the Spirit of God. I'm just keeping it real. Somebody say, let me keep it 100. Keep it 100. See, a lot of us say we're Christians, but we don't have the Spirit. We just Christians. Okay? Like a car with no gas. We Christians, we ain't going nowhere. Just sitting there. That's a pretty car. Got no gas. Walk in love. All these walks. Here's Jesus talking to a church. Not our church. Could be. Revelation 3. He's talking to the church of Sardis. Church that was at one time hot for God. Revelation 3 in verse 1. Look what he says. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the angel of the church. Talking to the pastor. Some folks say the pastor is the angel of the church. So he's talking to me about this church. He says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things say he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but art dead. Church running around thinking they got it all together, singing and dancing, praising the Lord, miming and stepping and stomping. I mean, got it going on. But God said they're dead. Dead. Then he gives them advice. And this is advice for all of us. All of us in leadership. All of us that desire one day to be in leadership. And you should. If you're here and you're not in leadership, you ought to desire to be in a position of leadership. It's your church. And we try to train up these young people. Because we're going to be off the scene in a little while. Okay? Here's his advice to this church. He says, be watchful. This is a good advice for all of us. This is great advice for all of us. Because we get into some stuff. Young people, be watchful. Be watchful of your emotions, your affections, your desires. Be watchful. And then he says this, and strengthen the things that remain. Okay? The areas where you know you ought to be stronger, those are the areas you need to strengthen. And believe me, I'm not talking down to you guys. I'm talking up to you guys because there's areas in my life where I know I need to be stronger. Amen. Okay? Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. And that may be your faith. That may be your walk with the Lord. That may be your Bible study. You ain't opened your Bible so long. Okay? Been sitting in the back window of your car so long, the sun and burned it up. I'd be walking through Walmart and see a Bible sitting there. That's it, curled all up. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay? God said, y'all doing a whole lot of stuff, but I don't see nothing. Mm. Then he gives them great advice in verse number 3. And this is important. This is why I just, if I had one demand of anybody that would come up here and preach or teach Sunday school, just listen. Be faithful to the Word of God. Okay? Just preach it and speak it and teach it in a way that is easy to understand. Because folks need to hear it in a way they can understand it.
Amen.
Okay? Don't try to get all deep. We ain't that deep here. Amen. Folks need to leave here empowered or mad.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? Now I'm not leaving here any other way. I feel better now that I heard the Word of God. Oh, I can't stand that preacher. I, mommy, uncle, cousin, I am never going back to that church as long as he's there. That's just the way it is. That's how it was with Enoch. He gives them in verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And repent. You hear the word? You understand it? make application. But before you can make application, you gotta repent, you gotta turn, you gotta change. Talk about walking. Look at verse number 5. Do all that. He says verse 5. He that overcometh. That's the challenge of Christianity. That's the challenge of being a man of God, a woman of God in a dark world. You got to overcome some stuff. You got to overcome. Don't know what you got to overcome? Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Lust of the flesh. All that you got to overcome. And he said, he that overcometh. The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out their name from the book of life. Does your walk please God? Or do you even want it to? I guess that's a great question. Do you want it to? Because the third thing that Enoch was, and we all are, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We can be a good ambassador or a bad ambassador. Okay? But we are ambassadors. Because we hold up the name. When they see Vernon out there hammering that sign down outside, ain't that Vernon? He's an ambassador. Matthew lead the house. They said he got his white suit on his first Sunday. He's an ambassador. Okay. But then when he don't have his white suit, they say he's coming in the house with 240s. See? Then somebody say, well, ain't nothing wrong with 240s. Because that's how we are. Listen, Paul. I'm going to preach a whole series on Paul because I want y'all to know him like I do. Paul says this, and y'all heard this so many times, but I have to take it all the way to the end, so y'all just bear with me. I have a scripture. He says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. Stay with me. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There's your job as an ambassador. God has given all of us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Bringing folks to God. That's what ambassadors do. You know, you go to a major city and you stay in a hotel. They got a tourism book, and really that book is telling you everything wonderful about that city, places to go, places to eat, all of this. Okay, and that's what ambassadors do. Our job is to tell people what Jesus Christ has done by dying on the cross. And I heard it this morning in Sunday school, and it says in verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ. That's key. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses on them. That's a beautiful thing. That's how you get to heaven. You have to have your trespasses, your sins forgiven. And he had committed us the word of reconciliation. Do you have a word of reconciliation? Amen. When you talk to people, do you have a word of reconciliation? Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you what God has done for me, and what he's done for me, he can do for you. He died on the cross for our sins. And he covered our sins in the blood. And now when we stand before God, he won't see none of our sins. He'll just see the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 20. He said, then now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. That's just begging. That's what an ambassador does. He begs. He just goes to another country representing the United States and begging that country to do business with the United States. Here's why you ought to do business with the United States. Here's why we ought to sign this contract together. Because we are a great country. Whew, that's tough. That's tough. Look at the language of an ambassador. I want you to know if you're an ambassador or not. Look at the language of an ambassador. And I know nobody in here be using no foul language and cussing and all that stuff. So just take it in. This is the traits of an ambassador. You know what I'm an ambassador. Philippians 1:27. He says this, ambassador language. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or as I may hear, of your affairs. Let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. How about that? What's that look like? Look like you ain't gonna get invited to a lot of places. Folks don't want to be around God's ambassadors. In a fallen world, that's tough. And see, a lot of the peer group pressure had some of y'all cussing just because everybody else around you cussing. Amen. You start acting a certain way, especially our young folk, start acting a certain way. Because you don't fit in. If I don't cuss, they're going to think I'm square, so I gotta ring them up. Ain't nothing wrong with being square. Because you probably be their lawyers one day. Philippians 3:20. Ambassador talk. He says, for our conversation is in heaven. Is your conversation in heaven? I don't know. Where's your conversation? Is it earthly? Or is it godly? Christian? Man or woman? Amos, that country preacher, Dave talked about that country preacher. He says, can two walk together? Except they agree. So if I see you running with hooligans, and you running with thugs, and you running with folks that are foul and cantankerous and evil and all that, and you running with them, and you get along with them, and y'all going to movies together, y'all going to ball games together, y'all doing everything together.
Y'all agree.
Okay? I hear it all the time. I gotta get some tickets to the Cavs game, Indians game. Ain't nobody going on Indians game with me. Okay? Ain't no ungodly person going to be thinking about me. They say that stuff when I'm around. I understand. I ain't new to this. Okay? Nobody taking me nowhere but Cindy. And then I always got to buy. But ain't nobody calling a preacher, hey, you know, we going out to dinner. You want to go? Like the Maytag man. When it comes to stuff like that, how can two people walk together and say agree? Now, I know Jill got a dog that she just loved. Name is Ruby. She loved Ruby. Okay? And her and Ruby can go on walks together. They go on walks together, but they can't walk together. Now, Jill, Dave will explain all that to you when you get home. See, animals can offer you companionship, but not fellowship. Okay? Animals are good companions, but you can't sit down and talk to the animal. Jill, you can't sit there, ooh, my mother won't let me go do this, and she won't let me wear this. And that dog ain't going to say, oh, that dog going to look at you going, That's it. That's it. Enoch and God had like natures. Okay? They have similar natures. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you cannot walk with God.
Amen.
Man, that's difficult. That's difficult. And what is the Spirit of God? You need the new birth. You need to be born again. You cannot walk with God if you're not born again.
Amen.
Pastor, you make things so complicated. It's not. That's not complicated. That's just real.
Amen.
Okay? And we're trying to walk with God, and we're not keeping it real. See, a Muslim can't walk with God. Not the God we serve.
Amen.
Okay? Not the God that has a son named Jesus. Let me clarify that. Not the God of the Bible. Okay?
Amen.
A Jehovah's Witness can't walk with God. A Rastafarian cannot walk with the God of the Bible. Okay? And it's the same thing. You must be born again to walk with God. Why? Because you need that new nature.
Amen.
And he said to her, I'm struggling with my walk. Pastor, I'm struggling with my walk. No, You might not be struggling with your walk. You may need to be reconciled back to God.
Amen.
Okay? You're just somewhere along the road, you came to a fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have went left or you may have been right, but God was going straight. Okay? Because see, one of the things that Enoch would have taught is that he lived a separated life. And we don't like to separate. This is the most painful part about Christianity. We do not like to separate. Okay? But it's impossible. It's impossible to serve God and be unequally yoked in a relationship with someone who don't love God. It's impossible. 2 Corinthians 6 says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? With righteousness and unrighteousness? None. I ain't nothing to talk to you about. It's hard talking to folks that don't love the Lord.
Amen.
When you love the Lord, it's hard. You ain't nothing to talk about. You don't talk that much, do you? What do I want to talk to you about? You cussing and swearing, fighting, arguing? Talk about women and sex and what am I talking about? What am I talking about? Talk about the cast for about 5 minutes. Talk about the Indians, they're almost 500. And talk about Tiger shot 85 yesterday. And after that, I'm done. We ain't got nothing else to talk about. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's talk about what you study. Let's talk about your Bible study. Let's talk about your prayer life. I don't have a prayer life. I don't have a Bible study life. I don't have a relationship with God. So when I see young people, they get in relationship, and then first thing I listen, that boy saved? That boy know the Lord? Nah, he cute though. That's not the point.
Amen.
Does he know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior?
Amen.
I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? What do you talk about? If you're a Christian, what do you talk to a thug about? Man, I like your sack. Man, them boxers go real nice with the belt you wear. What do you talk about if you're in a relationship with an honest believer, if you're a believer? Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a believer. I hit that, didn't I? Now, but I'm wondering, you know, okay, you're a believer. You're a believer and you're dealing with a demon-possessed person. What's wrong with our kids? I hear this all the time. Ain't nothing wrong with them. They lost. Okay? They demon possessed. See, we don't like to talk about that. That's spooky. Pastor, you get real spooky. No! The Bible saying what? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Listen. We are born rebellious. Okay? And I sit here and I talk this stuff to you guys. And I really believe I know what I'm talking about because I'm just telling you what the scripture says. And I'm just going to read scripture to you. But we live in a day and age where, you know, we want to give these pills to these kids. And I call them demon biscuits. And demons start acting up in a kid. Well, give them some demon biscuits and that'll calm them. They don't need no demon biscuits.
Amen.
Listen,
amen.
They need to be born again. That's all that's wrong with them.
Amen.
They need to be born again. What's wrong with your baby? Listen. They need to be born again. Let me put it this way. I hope I'm helping somebody. I hope I'm not offending anybody, but I'm just trying to be truthful. Okay? Here's Paul. I'll let Paul put it this way. He does a better job than I do. Here's Paul, Galatians 1:1, his salutation. He says this, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God, the Father who raised him from the dead. Okay? Ephesians 2. For all you demon-possessed folks out there. Okay? I'm not demon-possessed anymore. I know my family said, I don't know about that. But I was. Okay, I was. I was enjoying Sunday school lesson because I was demon-possessed. But what had to happen? I had to be born again.
Amen.
I had to be delivered. I had to be saved. And Paul says this in Ephesians 2 and 1, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Yeah.
Now, ain't no psychiatrist going to tell you that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Ain't no counselor going to tell you that. Okay? Here's what he said. Among whom we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by
nature
the children of wrath, even as others. Okay? That's biblical counseling 101. Need to be born again. So we're going to condemn, we're going to condemn the homosexual. No. Born in sin, need to be delivered. If they don't get delivered, then they don't live that thing out.
Amen.
Okay? And if our demon-possessed kids don't be delivered, they're going to live that thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take demon biscuits the rest of their lives.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And they'll start depending on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they can't get the biscuits, they'll get some other stuff.
Amen.
Okay? This will make you feel good. You won't feel no pain. You won't even remember anything. Well, give me that. Somebody say, well, Pastor, you talking about demon possession. Look at Matthew 5:15-22. I don't talk to y'all. Okay. It says this. Here's this woman. She had a daughter. See, we live in a world. A lot of our kids are jacked up. Because the world, the Western culture has convinced them that they're supposed to be slim and trim. Nice, sweet little 115 pounds, a certain height, blue eyes, long hair, fingernails, they're beautiful. Everything in is supposed to be beautiful. And then if we don't have that, we're crazy.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. Keep living. Keep living. And look around. Well, I love to see these old folks come in here. Okay? They're still beautiful. I'm not going to offend them. And say, you know, they ain't. They're still beautiful because they're old. I mean, they ain't beautiful. Okay? Everything's beautiful this season. Okay? I remember Dave, the 11 one. He told me these stories. He said, when I met Lori, she was so hot. Remember that, Jake? He said she was so hot. I mean, he was emphatic about it.
Amen.
Okay. Now, when we look at Matthew 15, here's this woman. It says, and behold, a woman of Cana came from the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Where did she go? She go to Dr. Field. She didn't. She went to the Lord. She found out that the Lord was close by, and she found the Lord.
Amen.
She found the Lord. See, we want to run our kids to the clinic. Run to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is in this place.
Amen.
And the power of God to deliver is here. How do I know? Because the scripture is being explained and read and taught.
Amen.
Matthew 17:15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, a nutcase. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. Y'all know what that word vex mean? Agitated. Okay? That's just trouble. Just irritate you. That's annoying you. That's what the devil will do to you. He will agitate you and annoy you and just vex you. That's what we're talking about. Peter, we're talking about Lot, and Lot was in Sodom, and in the conversation of the people just vexed this just man. Where did they take this boy? To Jesus.
Amen.
To Jesus. Look at Acts 5:16. You don't have to look. I'm just giving out stuff. Trying to slow down. He said, there came unto him also a multitude out of the cities around and unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks. Bringing sick folks. And them which were vexed with unclean spirits. You know where you get them unclean spirits at? You keep on watching that stuff. You keep on watching all that stuff that come on TV, and you keep on watching all the movies, and all that whore, and all that sex, and all that lust, and all that fornication, and adultery, and homosexuality. You keep on watching that. Okay, you keep on watching that, and sooner or later, you're going to be troubled by it. You're going to watch enough of it where you're going to think it's all right. See, we laughed at that stuff so long that it became funny. Okay? Isn't that funny?
Amen.
Okay? Amen. You know, you're not watching no Madea in my house.
Amen.
Okay, now I ain't sneaking watching. I'm just serious about it. I just don't want to see no man running around dressed like a woman.
Amen.
Because God said it's an abomination. God said it. He said it. All who do this is an abomination. You know, Pastor, you take things too serious. I sure do.
Amen.
Because I don't want Ray coming home with some pumps on. Talking about, Daddy, you thought Madea was funny. I want to be the next Madea.
Amen.
That ain't cute. Ray said, I knew I was going to get that sermon. Literally, it's been a couple of weeks. But you don't understand what I'm saying? We have to be careful what we expose our young people to. Because they become vexed with it. This whole idea, got to be beautiful. Oh, you got to be slim and trim. And we got kids sticking their fingers down their throats. Won't eat nothing. Trying to fit this model. You're beautiful to God. You're beautiful to God. Reconciliation, I'm going to close. But I just say that stuff. You know, we live in a world full of demon-possessed folks. And you don't have to be a nutcase to be a demon-possessed. You know, most demon-possessed folks is wealthy. They running stuff. You got demon-possessed folks that's superintendents of schools, messing with kids. Okay? Teachers, pastors. You can be president of the United States and be demon-possessed.
Amen.
Speaker of the House. How about Speaker of the House John Hastert? Uh-huh. He paid a guy he raped years ago. $3 million, let's be quiet. Folks is wealthy with issues. So everybody want to be rich.
Uh-huh.
I need a financial blessing. It might mess you up.
Amen.
That's Michael Jackson. All that money, they know what to do. I don't know. What it look like? Pastor, close, please. You done got on my nerves today. I'm fine with that.
Amen.
I'm just, my spirit's been just rattled with the whole Mr. Jenner stuff. You know, that throw me off. I hear it all the time. Pastor, what do you think of that? You know, what does biblical reconciliation look like? And I thought this was interesting. I've taught on this subject before, Mark chapter 5. We talk about the lunatic from Gadara. And it says they came over to the other side, Matthew 5:1. And to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he came out of the ship, immediately they met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now that's interesting. There's an unclean spirit. Okay? Because when you got an unclean spirit, you went that crazy. Okay? Now I don't know, this ain't popular. This ain't a popular message with the psychological driven world, the clinically driven world we live in. And it's just not. We don't want to bleed that. We just got to give them some demon biscuits and they'll be okay. Okay, listen, He had an unclean spirit. And there's nothing wrong with recognizing that. I think I heard this today. If you know, if it fit, understand, I got an unclean spirit.
Amen.
Man, don't take the word of God and turn it upside down. I got an unclean spirit. There was a time your pastor had an unclean spirit, and I needed a new one.
Amen.
And I cried out to the Lord, Lord, I got an unclean spirit. I'm doing stuff that I shouldn't be doing.
Amen.
I'm saying stuff that I shouldn't be doing. And it ain't me. I need a new spirit.
Amen.
I need to be saved. I need to be delivered. Because this thing going to kill me.
Amen.
It's going to destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. Some people, I don't want to face it. You know, listen, you got an unclean spirit. You wouldn't act like you do.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't go places that you go. You wouldn't say the things you say.
Amen.
He had an unclean spirit. And he had his dwelling among the tombs. The tombs, just going places, foul places, hanging around dead folks. And it's out of spiritualized, yeah. Because if you dead, you hang around dead folks. I'm not talking about physically dead, I'm talking spiritually dead.
Amen.
A spiritually alive person ain't going to hang around dead folks. And he had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could buy, no man could tell him nothing. I do what I want to do. It's my thing. I do what I want to do. You can't stop me. That's how we are. We was out of control. I would ask for a show of hands. But we lived among the tombs. And the next time you out somewhere and you look next to you and you see somebody that you know ain't saved, why are you sitting next to them? Why am I here among all these dead folks? And I'm ambassador for God. And no man could tame him. No man could buy him. No, not with chains. Remember Creflo Dollar? Creflo Dollar's daughter. Let me tell you something. He had to beat that girl down. 16 years old. You live in a mansion. You probably got 50 doors. She was sneaking out going to the clubs. And he had to put her in a headlock. Did some. Well, that's how we was. We was getting out. Okay. And he says, and because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. Couldn't tame him. Even the demon biscuits couldn't tame him. Nothing could tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. See him now. Say, one tattoo ain't enough. Now they tattooed his whole face and all down their neck and all their arms and stuff. Just cut themselves with stones. That was before. That was before. I like this. Now watch this. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. This is, now he had the unclean spirit then. Now watch what happened. He said, but when he saw Jesus, verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He ran and worshiped him. He didn't walk. He wasn't late. I mean, church started at 10:45. He didn't get there at 10:50. He ran and worshiped him. He just couldn't get there soon enough. Because he wanted this demon out of him. Some of us, we didn't get comfortable with our demon. We got a pet demon. We give him demon names. Like Beyonce, I got an alter ego. I can't think of the name she called it. Sasha or something. Okay, but you know, okay, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, I like my demon. You know, sometimes I need it. Like, you know, when I'm at Walmart, somebody in line and there's 12 items or less, and they got 16 because I counted them. He saw Jesus. Do you see Jesus? Not looking at me. Then you close your eyes and you know you got that unclean spirit. You know that demon is causing you fits. Do you feed it? You know? Ain't nothing like feeding a demon on a Freddy Krueger movie. Or Jason. Demons like that. love them horror movies. Chucky. Demons love Chucky movies. All that evil. All that evil. Now this demon got to Jesus. Now we all know the rest of the story. Demon cast all the demons out of him, the demon, all that. But look at the happening verse number 15. Now I'm going to close with this. You've been saying that a lot. And they come to Jesus. The people, this man been delivered. And out of people, they come to Jesus to see him that was, past tense, possessed with the devil, and he and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let me tell you something. You scare somebody, you get delivered. Some of you, you scare some people. Like, whoa, what happened? What's wrong with you? You don't want to get high no more. You don't want to drink no more. You don't want to fornicate no more. You don't want to watch no porn no more. You know what I mean? What's wrong with you? See, folk like sin. Folk like it. And when you get right with God, they don't want to have nothing to do with you and your God. And this is what the people said. In verse 17, and they began to pray. Not that they be delivered. They began to pray that he might be, and they began to pray him to depart from their coast. They was praying to get Jesus out of here. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because Jesus will wreck your party. Okay? He will wreck your party. So if you enjoying your sin, then just shut it off. Okay? And maybe one day, like the prodigal son, you'll come to your senses. And hopefully you come back to church, and guess what you're going to hear in this church? The word of God.
Amen.
The word of God. We're not changing.
Amen.
Okay? So I'm going back to church. I think this world is whooping my behind. And that's what the world going to do to some of y'all. Some of y'all, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a Holy Ghost beatdown to get you right with God. See?
Amen.
And you don't have to, but that's what's going to happen to some of us. We're going to have to get our butts whooped. Like the old Fram commercial. You can pay me now or pay me later. Listen, I'm gonna close. I have this story that Enoch walked with the Lord 300 years. Now I look around the room and I don't see anybody that's gonna be here in 100. Okay, I know we got some folks with children, with whole child. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But the oldest person living today, right today, I thought this was interesting. Y'all know why. Not like being on a computer and studying. Her name is Geraldine Talley. She's 115 years old. Okay? She's 115 years old. So, Enoch walked with the Lord 300 years. Some of us in here, I'll be liberal. Five. Some of us got 5, 10, 15, maybe 20. 20 years, I'll be 77. 20 years, Deacon Oliver would be 117. You ain't gonna be no 117. I guess the point I'm making is, how are we gonna walk out these last few years? How are we going to walk out these last few years? Yeah. How are we going to walk out these last few years? I think that's important for the church. Especially if we plan on existing after some of us are gone. How are we going to walk before our children and our grandchildren? How are we going to walk? I talk to the young people all the time. You guys are leaders. You guys are youth leaders. Okay? This church is going to grow. It's going to grow on your backs. About your testimony that you guys take out into public. About your church. Geraldine said her secret for longevity, twofold. Do unto others as you want people to do to you.
Amen.
And eat plenty of pork, especially hog head cheese. That's what she said. That's what she said. I say a lot of stuff. I know I do, and I say a lot of stuff, and some people might say I'm reckless, okay? And I may be. I'm not making any.